Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. Happy you're joining us. And of course, it's a beautiful, another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my fantabulous co-hosts.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton from Durham, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of our life work, and our life work is the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.
We love it, and we invite you to come visit us at gcsacommunity.org.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar and the events that I'm going to be joining in. And I hope you'll join me, too. So let's get this puppy going. This is Metaphysical Romp 2, MR2. And we are all about mastering the art of living metaphysically and scientifically. And we are in part two of an article that's entitled "The four-word phrase that's a sure sign of low emotional intelligence." And this was by Adam Grant, reported by Jessica Stillman, and was found in Medium. Oh my gosh, that was a mouthful.
That's take like the away, gossip, Cher. Isn't it? Everybody says it, and you keep passing it down.
Yep.
And speaking of that four-word phrase, if you regularly use the phrase, "you made me feel," you might be sitting on an opportunity to significantly improve your own emotional intelligence. And if you are with someone who uses that phrase, it's a signal that they may be operating from a lower emotional intelligence as well.
Yes. And in that case, you can give those people grace.
Yes.
Yeah. Grace. Yeah. You know you have to handle them in a distinct way.
And you think about how often we're even taught in communication classes to use that phrase, "you made me feel," or "when you do that, it makes me feel." And this is really going against that advice and saying there's a better way. And so that's where we're headed today. And if you want more on the backstory of that, just listen to last week's show. And now we're going to take it just a little bit further, because this article that we're discussing shares a practical method to help respond in a better way. And it's called the WISER method. WISER. And it's endorsed by decades of research. The WISER is actually an acronym, WISER, which stands for Watch, Interpret, Select, Engage, Reflect.
Watch, interpret, select, engage, and reflect. And this is made possible by that 1/3 second delay between stimulus and response. And Bill, what's that called one more time?
This delay is called the Bereshef's potential. And what that means is it's neurologically built into us, and it gives you a half of a second before you actually do something to hesitate and to practice the WISER method, if you will, to watch, interpret, select, engage, and reflect before you respond.
All right. So then, rather than feeling hijacked by your emotions, raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Rather than feeling hijacked by your emotions, you observe and probe them before choosing how you want to label your feelings and respond in practice. In this model, others can give you unpleasant fodder for consideration, but they can't make you feel anything. One more time. They can't make you feel anything that doesn't serve you.
So powerful. That is like exclamation point, underline, mic drop.
Yes.
We really want to emphasize that because it's so easy to turn into a victim consciousness in the drop of a hat. As soon as you say you made me feel, you've turned into a victim. And that's what we're advocating against. So what the article goes on to say, Okay. I was just going to add this little piece of trying to tamp down or ignore emotions through sheer force of will seldom works. So we really wanted to emphasize that. We're not just saying grit your teeth and use that inner strength to just not respond, but rather taking that step back that Paul and Bill were just talking about, that moment, that Berufschaft's moment, and consider your feelings before acting on them is an excellent way to significantly increase your emotional intelligence. So there's the payback. There's the reason to practice this technique. Your emotional intelligence actually increases and your emotions will no longer hijack your actions. So
don't let your emotions hijack your actions. That is such a keeper.
It really is. So let's talk about, guys, why don't we talk about that wiser method? Just break it down a little bit and talk about each of those words so that we have a better feel for what they mean. And it is important to mention that this wiser method actually is based on an 80-year Harvard study that shows emotionally intelligent people use this wiser method or model to handle strong emotions. So it is supported by a lot of research, but that's a particularly long range research.
Yeah. And I want to emphasize, we're not saying an article from 80 years ago. We're saying that it was a study that spanned 80 years. That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe just let's jump into the actual words.
Let's do it.
So the first one was watch. So I'll jump on this one and just describe what it means, and then we can riff on it a minute. If you want to respond well to an emotion, you first need to take a pause, name it, and I think that's critical, name it and understand what triggered it. So in some cases, this period may only last a moment or two. In others, you may have to actually sit with it for a while and think about it, give it some study time. And during that time, try to bring curiosity to the situation. And they invite some questions here. Ask yourself, what was the environment? Was the situation unusual? Who were you interacting with? And what do you know about this person? What may you have missed that may prove important? That's a lot to pack, unpack rather, when you're emotional.
Yes. However, we can slim it down a little bit because watch is really all about self-awareness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Being aware of what's going on in our body-mind system at the time. And I think it also speaks to that maybe no response is better than any other response, because I have been in situations where I will say my emotions, I'm feeling hijacked, and I've just learned not to respond from there in those moments.
Which is such a smart reaction, which shows your ability to take a step away from the emotional situation so you can be aware you're experiencing it. And I think that's why I love where he says, name it, name the emotion. We've been doing a lot of work around empathy lately, and also reading Atlas of the Mind, which is Brené Brown's, one of her latest books. And those two together, Atlas of the Heart, those two things have really focused on the wide range of emotions that you're feeling. And to just say, that makes me mad, which does two things. First of all, you're giving it out there to you, but also mad is such a big word. What are you really feeling?
Yes.
Upset, angry, I'm about to blow up, I'm irritated. There's so many different nuances. And if you can name it, it can help you have an appropriate response to it.
And just as an aside, what we mentioned earlier, that if you want to respond well to an emotion, you first need to take a pause and then understand what triggered it. Well, what's interesting about that is that part's true. An emotion can be triggered, but your response to it is not triggered by the emotion. It may be influenced by the emotion, but the bear chest potential tells you you've got time to figure it out before you respond.
And this reminds me of a frequent phrase you guys started using. That's a way you bring poise to the noise.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
And the noise in this case is the inner noise of our emotional reaction.
Yeah. This is really big stuff. I mean, when you start thinking about this, it's not an easy task, but boy, will you be glad you did it.
Yes.
I remember a quote from way back. I think I was in college when I first heard this quote. It said, be careful what words you say because you may have to eat them.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, yeah, we really, it's worth taking that moment to evaluate what's causing it.
Yes. And so that actually is the next step. It's interpret. And so you have to dig into them a little bit. Have you made any assumptions about the other parties involved in the situation? Might those assumptions be flawed? Oh my goodness. Could I have flawed assumptions?
Yeah,
oh
well.
Yeah. And then are there
other
factors?
We don't want to admit it, do we?
Yeah. So that's another piece of emotional intelligence, is admitting it, right?
Mm-hmm. And again, it goes on to say that situations can be ambiguous and unclear. And I love this phrase. It's on this canvas of ambiguity that we can project all sorts of ideas. Isn't that a neat phrase that they've written there? It's on this canvas of ambiguity that we can project all sorts of ideas. And I like to say, we're all such good writers. We write wonderful stories in our head about what's happening. And lots of times they're very good fiction.
Yes, right.
Not always factual.
But not necessarily healthy fiction.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we, the three of us, caution people when they listen to breaking news, because when you think about it, because there's so much more news to come, they don't have all the news. Breaking news is a canvas of ambiguity.
It is.
It sure is. You're absolutely right.
So don't overreact.
Yeah. And we tend to let emotions run away with us as soon as we hear it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So if we've only done a quick and dirty job of observing in the watch stage, we probably don't have all the information we could have about what's really going on, which can lead to hasty conclusions. So again, it's making sure you spend the time to analyze it accurately. And it, like Paul mentioned, sometimes that means we have to admit that we may be having assumptions that aren't true. And that's sometimes hard to recognize in an emotional setting.
Or even a mentioning, I'm having an emotional response to this. I need space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being able to say that. You might actually have to say that to a person.
Yes.
In the moment, rather than continue the conversation, to just say, I need a minute, and that minute could be a day. It could be a moment.
Well, and that's where emails come in, because I could be reacting to an email, but there's no law that says I have to respond immediately.
Right.
No. And there's a real interesting piece of research around emails. I'm looking up the word right now because I just taught a class that had talked about it. And it's called the negative intensification bias. Have you guys heard of that? The negative intensification bias, which says that we tend to interpret material, especially emails, we tend to see it from a negative perspective. And so 100%, when you're doing emails, it's 100% of the meaning comes from the words, and people will write the story in a negative way, usually.
Yeah. And that the story is what was behind this email.
Yes. And so you interpret it from that perspective. And it can happen face to face. If your boss comes by and says, I need to see you in my office, is 5 minutes from now good? Immediately you're thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? How did I screw this up? What happened? I'm going to get yelled at. But and it may be a promotion that he wants to tell you about or she wants to tell you about.
And when you think about it, the negative intentional bias begins, the first three letters are NIB, so you're getting a nibble. And you've got to very careful how you respond to a nibble.
You do. Okay, so we have watch, interpret of the wiser method. Now, what does the S stand for?
Once you have a full picture of what actually is going on, you'll be better placed to actively select the course of action that will get the results you want.
So select is the word.
Select. If you realize your frustration that your confused new employee is driven more by your insane, they say, schedule than their incompetence, you can skip snapping at them and instead look to clear some time to help them get up to speed.
Which is a great example.
Yes. And so the bottom line of this one is, first, what's the outcome you want? And when you have your outcome clear, then it's easier to select.
And one of the things we suggest is to write down all your choices. How can you respond? And look at the choices you have because part of our frustration and victim consciousness comes from thinking we don't have a choice. So this gives you an opportunity to assess how can I respond? And based on what I know, which is the best response to have.
And when you look at the outcome then and figure that out, that you're more prone to be able to handle what comes out.
Exactly. And then the fourth letter, E, is for engage. So it's like you have a plan now. Now is the time to put it into action. The options here are as variable and diverse as the emotional situations we find ourselves in. But whatever you're dealing with, considered action is better than just letting your feelings carry you along. So I love that. Considered action or considered response, which brings us to reflect.
When reflect is one that just says, okay, I did all this and I engaged. Now, how did it go? So the reflect is, how did your plan turn out? Did you get the response you hoped for from others in terms of your own emotions? And by making us think about what went well and what went less well, the reflection stage provides important information that we can use to improve our response next time. Those are two key words right there. Next time, instead of if only or I wish I had, what can I do for next time? And if you skip this step of reflecting, you'll let a key opportunity to learn go to waste.
Absolutely.
So that's the wiser method. And it sounds like a lot, but it's really a process, like one step flows into the next, and we can begin to make it a habit if we want.
Yes, so we want to be sure to mention that is it as easy to do that as we're talking about when you're shaking with rage? No, certainly not. But we can learn how to respond in these situations. And so, looking at the time, I better respond by saying it's time to pivot to the absolute word. And of course, the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from April 7th, and it's one of our favorite two-word phrases. It's called a pet peeve. Divine order. Divine order. I use divine order to manifest my life. I use divine order to manifest my life. I delight in the glorious colors, fragrances, and arrangement of plants in a garden. I celebrate the imagination, the meticulous planning, and the intelligent work that transformed a patch of ground, some seeds, water, and fertilizer into a beautiful, life-filled place. I recognize how divine order was used to create this garden. It began with the divine idea of beauty. Someone then perceived and expressed the idea of beauty as a garden. Cooperating minds developed the plan. Willing hands prepared soil, planted seeds, then watered and tended the growing plants. My spiritual vision perceives that divine order is a principle and a law of mind. It is how every mind works. It is the eternal flow of mind, idea, and manifestation utilized to manifest everything everywhere. I use divine order to manifest my life. Divine order is not imposed on us by some superhuman living in a place called heaven. And so, friends, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Until the next time.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Bill. I love working with you guys. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for listening.
And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton, and the three of us invite you to divinely order what you want to manifest in your life.